and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling you softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
We are in and we're up and running, and wow, do I have a show for you today? Yes, I mean, I am so stoked. I am so excited to just see the name of our next guest coming in, but I'm going to hold that for a second, listeners, because you know me, got an intro in, you know. I've been told by the show owner, Paul, intro, man, intro, you know, you just throw in, you're like a Taurus, actually. I'm a double Taurus, apparently. I'm a Taurus, inner Taurus, inner Taurus, Taurus, whatever that is. But Deb says, Paul, is just too much. Too much, but I love it. You know what I mean? And I'm a bald Taurus. I mean, I love being bald too. It's all these things that go on, because I think here's the thing: you have to be absolutely in your own skin to know who you are. You have to really know the essence of you to enjoy the life that you're in, listeners. And I've been there all week. You know, I've been such a fantastic week. Yesterday, took a workshop, lovely new entrepreneurs there, you know, just going in, talk about money alignment and value in your business, the value of you. All these lovely things are now transitioning into what is true business practice these days. Or should we say, actually, I think we should remove the word business person and put the word in developing person, because we're not developing a business. We develop ourselves. We all know the journey's in, not out, guys. The journey is in, not out. We don't make money out. We make life currency in to make money out. Let's remember that. This is what we're about today. And I know my guest today is going to give me a full on delivery on that kind of mindset, because mindset's important. But here's the thing. So I was looking at the information my lovely guest sent on today, and one of her hobbies is painting. I'm like, wow, painting seems to be coming in my life lately, listeners. Do you know what I mean? Because Deb, and we all know who Deb is, she's the center of my life, my wife as it is. Deb is actually going on a day's training canvas painting. I mean, I said, Deb, you know, we've got plenty of walls and he'd be done here, you know, and get a bit of magnolia eggshell. That's the one to get on it. Everybody loves magnolia eggshell. Well, if not, you know, seems to go up in every new house. That's for sure. But yeah, so I said, Deb, you know, no. And she's got these little fine brushes that look no more bigger than like a mascara brush. Not that I know mascara, but you know what I mean? And she does these little detailed things. And I said, well, Deb, you know, are you taking a picture of me today? She said, why is that? That's what you're painting. She said, Paul, not everything is about you. I said, well, we're married, man. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, she's going for a day's. Actually, she said, Paul, we're not using brushes. We're using charcoal. I said, we're a barbecue? No, she said, we charcoal all day today. It's like, whoa, whatever that is. So I'm pretty stoked to see what comes back. And guess what? I think I should auction it off for the sake of charity. Maybe. Not sure what we get, but we're going to go for it. So that's kind of been my morning. Oh, no. Guys, I had a bit of a fraud scare this week. So I've gone into a bit of a Bitcoin phase. Never done it before. And all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm seeing I've kind of exposed a few things I shouldn't have to who is apparently my agent. Listen, I will keep going with this over the next couple of weeks and let you know where it goes. But right now, I'm shaking in my boots a little. I'm on the bank. Cancel my cards out. I think I've done this. I've seen my layer. Yep. So I think I'm going to have a little see how that goes. But me and Deb are like, we're having like morning meetings before we get up. It's like, what should we do? What are we doing? Are we doing the right thing? Is he genuine? I don't know. So I'm going to have to figure that out later, listeners. And as I get on, I'll let you know whether I have a bank account in a couple of weeks or not. I will let you know. But you know what? Let's not down the tone, because that's just part of life, man. Part of what we're going through. What I want to do here today, I want to introduce this amazing lady. But here's the thing. Listen to this. Desiree. Yes. That's our guest's name. Desiree Silverstone. Now, imagine it's like, you're walking into this gala and you say, ladies and gents, here she is. Please welcome to the room, Desiree Silverstone, I mean, come on. You know there's a mindset behind this lady. You know there's a heart behind this lady. So let's, without further ado, listeners, without further ado, let's get this beautiful person on the show. If you could see what I see, she's an amazing person here on the screen. I'm going to applaud her in. And here we go. Come on in, this lovely lady, Desiree.
Thank you. Hello, Paul. That was some introduction.
Fair play, girl. It's great to see all red. You know, you've got your red jumper, your lippy, and your red pictures behind you. You're looking fab, girl. Thank you for coming on.
I'm the lady in red. What can I say?
So, Desiree, where are you in the world?
I am in North London.
Oh, you're a London. My wife comes from London. She's a Londoner. Deb is a Londoner. She was like full Cockney when she was up till about the age of eight. I mean, I don't quite get it. How do you find London? Do you get excited by London, or do you find it kind of too much of a soup bowl?
I love London. When I was a kid, I'm from South Africa, just in case you haven't picked up on the accent. We used to play Monopoly, and it used to be Oxford Street, Regent Street. And when I go in, it's like, look, I'm on Oxford Street, Regent Street, you know, the posh streets.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm an old Kent Road guy myself. You know what I mean? I'm the old boots kind of person. And maybe I hang on to the get out of jail card free because I was a bit of a rebellious boy. So I had to have that card in my bum pocket, if you know what I mean, for sure. But, you know, I found London, it's beautiful, but I found it just too stressful. I found it, you know, you have pockets, but it doesn't feel like a free community to say, all right, mate, how are you doing? It's like, whoa, you said all right to me, I don't know you. There's that kind of thing in London.
I get it. Actually, I'm reaching a point now of thinking, where do I want to go? It's going to be seaside or somewhere foresty and villagey. Because I think I'm getting to the point now of just wanting a different kind of like buzz, more laid back.
Hear you, girl. We moved in September. We moved into stick country. We're in the middle of nowhere in a converted barn. I mean, here, a head torch is more important than a mobile phone. It's absolutely surrounded by fields, sheep, horses, ducks, and all kinds of things going on up here. But, you know, it took
That's
time.
That's heaven. That's
well,
heaven to me.
I thought that, Desiree. I thought that. But for me, it was 4 months of feeling isolated. I was like being in isolation. But now I got used to it. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I feel I can think better by being up here, which of course is one of your deep skills. You are a thought leader. That's, you know, for a living, you're a thought leader. I've got, you know, your business is head Honshaw's executive coaching.
Yep, it is indeed. I'm all about the head to get to the soul.
Oh wow, I love it. I love it. And you know, when we think about coaching, and I want to come because, you know, there is clearly a long history there with you in understanding mindset, coaching, people. And we're going to go into that as we go through the show here. But, you know, I had this conversation many times. Being a coach, I've been 20 years in the industry. And, you know, I even removed the word coaching from my title because it's like a double glazing salesperson. You know, it's sadly, it's an industry that's now been saturated by the wave of COVID executives coming in and hoping to make a quick buck. And, you know, what I see from your module of what you do, you make it accessible to everybody, which, and this is what I loved about COVID. It did take away the exaggerated invoice that is related to the coaching industry, because it is. It's an exaggerated invoicing industry. Certainly when I went in 10 years ago, I did my apprenticeship in the US and Canada. And trust me, you know, these invoices were way out of reach for the individual. Do you see that the industry is moving as kind of had to reshape itself because of the wave of executives coming in and becoming, you know, the coaches, the business consultants and things? Do you see a change for the better or a change for the worse?
Both, actually. I think that you know, it is more accessible in that you coaches used to be for the elite, in that it would be, you know, you would go in one-on-one into some big corporate office, whereas with COVID, it's made it more accessible because you can just get onto, you know, a Zoom call. But the other bit of it is that the market has been flooded with people that the standard isn't great. There's everybody and I like dogs, but everybody and their dog, you know, calling themselves a coach. And funnily enough, at the moment, I'm acting as an examiner for one of the big providers. And the level and standard and quality of people makes me want to weep sometimes.
Bless, isn't it? And it, you know, it what I think what got lost in the coaching industry is that we wouldn't send our children to school to be taught by a teacher that hadn't passed the qualifications. You know, but yet we're sending ourselves to be taught by individuals that effectively, and this isn't a disregard. Everybody has an opportunity to achieve. Everybody has an opportunity to try, and you know, that's what's great about our country. I mean, although coaching is a very unlicensed product, right now, you know, it's very similar to being, and I'll compare it, but very similar to being in the psychic medium industry. This is an unlicensed product, and effectively, we have this same wave of deterioration, are we going to say? And but also, you know, there's real we are safe to say, well, yeah, if you want to be a coach, be a coach, but understand the ripple effect that you're creating in people's lives. You're not just changing that person's life, you're changing the life of their children, their grandchildren, great grandchildren, by effectively what it is you're teaching for those people. And do you
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you are the agent of change, it has, you know, ripple effects, which, you know, you haven't mentioned, but I used to be a psychotherapist and you're breaking intergenerational cycles, but through intervention for it to be a more positive outcome.
Absolutely. You know, I do you find that, you know, when we think about the detail of coaching, that, you know, we no longer trade business to business or even person to person. We trade in heart to heart now. And for that reason alone, you know, it's understanding the first 15 years of your life, it actually is dictating your business right now. You know, I always say to my clients, what was it like with your pocket money? If you had pocket money, what did you do with your pocket money? Because that is now being repeated in your business, without any doubt, unless you have that understanding. And do you feel that, you know, as a coach, that you're that the way we look at coaching now is very different? Because I haven't done a business plan in 15 years.
When you say it's different in terms of setting up a business, where are you coming from?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't quite finish that. I do apologize. I left it kind of open-ended. And but here's the thing. Do you think that coaching has a different approach now because of how we are trading? Because of the young minds coming through who are brilliant but being brought up on a device, on a digital device. Do you think that the way we approach coaching in a business sense is not just about business now? It's deeply about the people that you're working with and their interpersonal skills and how they value themselves and things.
Absolutely. And I think that I'm very lucky in that I've got a strong psychotherapeutic background because everything that you do is about, like, what people, as an example, what people don't realize is that everybody plays a role in their family, whether you're the victim, the peacemaker, the mediator. And the minute you get into a workplace, that's the role that you're playing. So you've got this workplace and everybody's playing out their family role. So it's kind of understanding that when you're coming into coaching to actually help people move because you're in kinds of patterns of behavior. And I don't think that a lot of people that are coming into the coaching industry are working at that kind of depth. So everybody's just coming in, doing their thing, saying, here's my niche. I'm a, I don't know, women-only coach or whatever, because they think that that's their niche. You know, that's become the popular thing. But people are people.
Absolutely. Listen, we all go to toilet. Do you know what I mean? Nobody's any different to anybody else. We all have a wee and things like this. And you know, when we think about, you know, how we're approaching, like when we think about, you know, the coaching in its sense, I almost compare it to NLP. You know, I love all these different designs of mind analysis, but, you know, I'm going to say, stick my neck out to you and say, the majority of NLP masters actually need NLP themselves. You know, they listen, you know, and I, you know, you send your email to support@paulreesebusinesscoach.biz and I'll be happy to, you know, email it out with you. But here's the thing, it's fair to say that, you know, and it's the same with coaches. There's a lot of coaches actually need coaching themselves. Listen, I always have a coach. I'm never without a mentor or a coach. I have, you know, a large support system that always stretches me. I only work with clients I'm going to learn from. I learned that, you know, that to me only started about 5 years ago. Tell me your philosophy. You know, what do you feel is important to you as a coach to sustain, you know, what it is, your quality, your, and also the delivery of success?
Well, similarly to you, I always go into, well, anything in life, be it a coaching session or meeting somebody, I really believe that everybody is an opportunity to learn from. So I think it's kind of a transactional process in that I'm learning from them. And my whole thing about coaching is to get people to be as authentically themselves as they can be and break away the self-limiting beliefs, of empowering them to get to that place where they're not scared to actually be themselves and to be content in the world. And that's what I personally strive for, is to break down the ties that bind. And when I'm working with people, that's what I'm doing, because the world and one's inner self is so much richer, happier, more content, more free, to be ourselves in the world and to have good, healthy relationships.
It is. It's beautiful because, you know, having that psychotherapist background, having that under your belt, and, you know, and again, you know, what we are seeing here is that to be that top end, to influence people's minds, to fracture old thoughts and create new thoughts, you've got to be more than someone who can just put numbers together now and look at a business plan and you know, strategize the obvious. Because let's face it, running a business is easy. It's the loyalty to disappointment is what suffers a business from becoming successful. Because we all have it. We're all loyal to disappointments because our parents give us that. We inherited it from them, you know. Yeah, give it to me, Dad. Give me that disappointing bit. Mom, give me that disappointing bit, you know. I remember my father saying, "All right, thicky. All right, thick boy." And that was one of my loyalties, disappointment. And I practiced that to the point I convinced myself I was dyslexic, you know. And you know, that's something I have to work through. And, you know, again, coming back to the psychotherapist part of your work, it's fair to say that coaching is no longer just numbers and strategy of business. It really is deep diving with your individuals into what is the history of what is making every decision in their mind right now.
You know, really, and I pick it up when people are talking. This comes off the top of my head, of somebody saying, "I'm a perfectionist." It's not that they're just a perfectionist. There's something behind that's driving them to be that way. And just thinking of one particular person, and I do toe dipping. I don't do psychotherapy, but I go, okay, let's just see what this is about. And it turns out her mother's OCD. She did something wrong. The repercussions were great. And she just learned to be a perfectionist. So we go, okay, that's where it comes from. And she goes, "Oh my God, I didn't realize that." So now let's work towards, because that's not you. That's something that was formed because as a child, you had to learn to survive. So, yep, we know where it comes from, how we're going to deal with it, versus saying, okay, you're a perfectionist, let's see what you do. When you've got the information of the root of the cause, it's much easier to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, it's lovely to have that conversation with an individual like yourself, Desiree, There's a ray. See, because I'm.
The ray of sun, Paul.
Yeah, totally. It's because I'm Welsh speaking also. We do see letters in a different way, you know, we really do. But it is, it's wonderful to have that conversation with an individual that, you know, effectively we could say coaching. The word coach is a word that could not be strong enough for what it is you do. What it is you do with your clients. You know, there's life strategy in there. There is soul strategy. There is past strategy. There is, you know, triggers, traits, inherited habits, all these beautiful things that are in this toolbox that sadly you just put into the word coach. And there's just no way that the word coach is suffice enough for what you do. It's just not, you know.
Did it also a little bit differently in that a coach for me reminds me of a train coach, and we're all on a journey. So there is something in there. I do realize that it is hackneyed, and people have all kinds of different associations with it. But on a deeper level, it is about journeying on sometimes on a very practical level and seeing the scenery, but how you're going to change it, and then also on a deeper, more difficult journey.
It is. It's Like I say, there's so many ways of looking at things. And I think that's what's so great now about all of the business world is so open to open-mindedness, where it wasn't in the past, you know, and of course, well-being being the funky word right now, pushing through the veins of every business as it is. But you're what we're going to do, listeners. We're going to jump in to a quick 90-second commercial. And when we come back, we're going to throw up, of course, Desiree's Silverstone's contact details. And then we're going to dive into really what the business is, what it looks like, and why it's there. So give us a quick 90 seconds, and we'll be back in your room.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Yes, you know where you are. Of course, it's UK Health Radio, and you're with Paul. Deb's not here because she's on a painting training day. Actually, Deb said, "You've got to voice me, Paul." He goes, "Nee, nee, 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 nee." We're doing it. But you know, it's a cute voice that she has for sure. But yes, of course. And of course, we have Desiree Silverstone. I'm going to elongate that ray every time I say it because when you want to meet someone, you want to feel the ray of that person is surely is here. And let's get the contact details. So, Desiree, throw these out here. How do we get hold of you, girl? If not, I have a website which is www.headponchos.co.uk.
Absolutely. Or you can Google my name and I will pop up.
Well, you know, I doubt there's many Desiree Silverstones out there.
I think I'm the only one, as far as I know.
Well, I know, I'm just Google this lady. And of course, it's Desiree Silverstone at headonshows.co.uk. And
And
listeners,
if you want to know how to spell Desiree, just think of desire, but with two E's.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And we're going to throw that out again before the end of the show, listeners. So if we didn't catch it then, get your pen and paper ready. And all the details will go out with the show anyway. All the connection details, websites, and all the social media that you can get this lovely lady on. For sure. Now, let's talk about, you know, as a coach. Now, we've talked about the coaching industry, but let's talk about how you got into this. So what brought you into wanting to be a think leader?
Well, it was a bit of a journey, and I think it started way, way back when I was about 13 or 14, and terribly had the teenage blues. And I was reading very into poetry, which actually shaped a lot of who I am today. It wasn't like ye old Byron Shelley. It was more spiritual kind of poetry. And I had this epiphany, and, you know, it was one of those moments where you remember exactly where you were, the temperature, all those kinds of things. And it was about life is difficult. but I can choose to get into being a sufferer or being a learner. And that's where I decided to say that everything that happens to me in life, there is a lesson. And it's gotten me through some really hard times. And as a result, I started to sort of get into psychology. I also have to add that my mother, you know, thought that she was Dr. Freud's daughter. She was an armchair psychologist, so everything got analyzed. So between being miserable, I decided this is what I need to do. I need to become a psychologist because, of course, nobody's ever been through being a teenager before. And I understand teenagers, you know, adults just happen to kind of become an adult from Mars and landed on Earth. And so I just went and I did psychotherapy. I got 3 different qualifications, working with adults, adolescents and children and families. And it really was about, you know, helping them overcoming their life scripts, their mindsets, empowering them. Sometimes it's about giving permission to people to just say, well, that's okay to be like that, because they've kind of interjected whatever they've done. And so I did that for many years, working in prisons and NHS and private practice and all those kinds of things. And then about 13 years ago, somebody said to me, you know, I think you'd make a good coach. And I went, oh God, what do I know about the corporate industry?
Yeah.
And talk about having a panic attack. The first person, she said, I'll arrange something, just see how you do. Yeah. And she opened the conversation with, and I'm responsible for $300 million. And it was like, what do I know about this? Like nothing. And I thought, well, maybe I'll put down the phone and just say the phone cut off, the electricity cut off, whatever. But then very soon into it, I realized that she was actually, the things that she was finding difficult, whether it's, I don't remember the situation, that it was imposter syndrome or having a difficult conversation. You know, it came down to some kind of layers or self-limiting belief, or that you grew up in a family that they don't know, they didn't learn how to speak. Things were brushed under the carpet. So it's then difficult to have an awkward conversation with somebody. Yeah. And that's really where people are coming from, you know, about how do I read this person? Or they don't realize where the person's coming from. And I have all of that experience, not only in terms of my life experience, but in terms of my sort of psychology, psychotherapeutic dealing with people. So
I'm really interested in what your product looks like, because, like I say, bringing all that history, that hypervigilancy, that ability to read environments as quick as what you do, from your past also, and in that intricate way, because it's almost like a surgeon thinking here. And you would living with a mom like that, you would have to have been able to think surgically with your thoughts. And I think that's such a, almost we can applaud mom for being the apprentice that's made this person I have in front of me here. You know, we got to be grateful for how our parents shaped us, but we have to give gratitude for what we bring in from it, which so many people do not do, which creates really that business failure. Because a business can't fail. The model is very easy. It's, you know, you register a model, here it is, it's a business, you've got it in a box, and it's designed to do one thing, and that's make a profit from an excellence of service or product. Until, as I say, we marry into it our disappointments, and we actually have to train the business to lose money, because there's no law of the land says you stop here, you're capped. You know, we create that capping, as you say, with our emotions. But coming back, I love the intricacy of how you think and how you are taking that into it. So really advanced way now to bring it. It's the future of business coaching. It's the future of any coaching, but it's certainly the future of business coaching and being able to decipher and as I say, surgically help those people to micro think. Because very few of us are actually using our wisdom anymore, because we've been overtaken by the speed of technology, where there's no room for wisdom in there, because we actually got to stop. My dad went on a 13-day silent retreat last week. So she was meditating for 8 hours a day and 13 days silent, 200 people. Nobody could talk, no conversation, no eye contact, no phones, no nothing. And she And Deb is very advanced now, she thinks, because she's a life strategist. And I was like, she said it was the hardest, best thing she ever done. How many of us actually hear ourselves anymore?
Oh, wow. I'm super impressed, Deb. Wow.
Oh, yeah, wow. Desiree, she signed me on for them. She said, you're going on the next one. I am? Yes, she said, you're on. And, you know, but it's 13 days. But isn't it sad that we can't remember how to hear ourselves anymore?
I think people struggle to, you know, to listen to themselves, to find their inner voice, to deconstruct even what they're feeling. Wow. You know, one of the techniques that I use is people say, you know, oh, I can't do that, or I feel really guilty. And I'll say, well, where do you feel that in your body? Oh. And then you go back to, well, where was that feeling born? Yeah. Because when did it start? How old is that feeling? Oh, it started when I was bullied. So every time you encounter somebody that does X, you feel that you're back there, but you don't realize that you're not back in the playground, you now, but you're reacting the same because that feeling and body memory is stored, and you know, you just go automatically into that feeling.
Yeah, it's fantastic having this conversation, because the realization is that we're invisible to the, you know, the guilt that we carry for basically our parents and the happenings there. You know, I love my mother and father, and I love them dearly, but they're 1 pint people. You know, I'm a 10-gallon person, and I love, but until I learned that they're giving me the best 1 pint version of themselves they can. And it's the best 1 pint version, but it can't fill me because I'm 10 gallons. Until I learned to understand that, then I dropped my disappointment. I dropped the fact that I felt I wasn't good enough as a son. I felt I wasn't given enough. Then I understood, it's like, Paul, they're 1 pint people, but they're amazing 1 pint people. They just can't fill you. Mm-hmm. And that helped me a lot. But do you see that yourself in people where it's like, you know, we have to acknowledge what we've brought with us and what's become our emotional fingerprint as such.
Absolutely. And your parents probably didn't get that for themselves. You can't give what you don't have. Well, you mm-hmm. You have to have the desire to say, this is what I got. And, you know, if I want more, it's about having the first realization to go out and do something different, which is what you've done.
Yeah, thank you. And do you find, so let me coming back to your product and your coaching, because, you know, kind of almost accidentally slipped into the coaching in the business world. But thankfully, because I do believe, again, you are the shape of what is the future quality of coaching on any shape and form. And anybody out there listening to the show, and you are in the coaching industry, take note of this. Take note of the work that Desiree has done on herself in order to create an influence, to be an influence think leader for adults. Because let's remember, we're not working with children here. We work with adults, and it's cause and effect, you feel, Desiree, with that.
Well, I would challenge you on that, because it was so funny when you were talking about the Taurus and the bull within the bull within the bull.
Yeah.
People are like those Russian dolls, and it's the person within the person. And the bits where we get stuck are, you know, the doll within the doll within the doll is like that delayed development at mm-hmm. some point. So you come into the corporate world, and you're seeing an adult, but sometimes you're actually dealing with a 15-year-old because it's you at that point with that particular, you know, characteristic or behavior. So what I found was people were coming in for long-term coaching sessions, and I've worked for a lot of very, very big Fortune 100, 500 companies.
And I see that on your notes.
I beg your pardon?
I cut in there because I saw that on your notes that you have been right up there with you know, the greats of the companies, and you're a very sought after person. I'm very grateful for having you on, by the way. Just wanted to get that in there. No, I wanted to shove some kudos out there, because you've put yourself out there and you've worked with them. You know, you're a very sought after individual when it comes to, you know, the depth of coaching that you bring in. So anyway, sorry, I cut in. Keep going.
No, that's fine. I love that you're giving me kudos. It's like, you know, it's really nice of you. So what I was finding was that people were coming in, you know, I want to learn, you know, these long-term goals, etc. But when they came to the coaching sessions, they weren't sort of coming in with this long-term goal. They were coming in with what was happening to them now. I've got to fire somebody. I'm not getting on with somebody, whatever the, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, it makes sense because when you understand how the brain works, we've got very, very limited, this, you know, this bit above our eyebrows is where all our self-regulation comes from, our decision-making, et cetera. And it's tiny. So if you put in something, it takes up a slice of it. So you've got to free your thinking. So what they're doing is they're coming with what's happening in the moment. And each time they come, that's what they're doing. And I thought, and I'm really good, I suppose. I never thought of myself being, you know, a psychological surgeon. But I'm really quick at getting to the heart of it and for people to go away with an aha moment. So I thought, well, you know, my model's going to be different in that I'm going to do an on-demand coaching thing that I've got a, you know, a problem with, you know, doing a presentation, having a difficult conversation, whatever it may be. And even, you know, like imposter syndrome, I will kind of within one session break through to where that's coming from.
Wow.
So I thought, well, why don't I democratize it so that you don't have to buy 20 coaching sessions or 6 months. You come in when you've got a problem and then, you know, you sort it out one, two sessions. And the other thing is, beg your pardon, is that it doesn't only have to be for individuals. Companies can buy blocks of it and then go, look, everybody in the company, if you're feeling stressed or you've got a problem or whatever it is, here's a token, go have a session. Wow. So it could be the secretary, it could be somebody just, you know, starting off, you know, being a line manager, etc. So everybody has access and you don't have to invest in, you know, in everybody having this long-term coaching. So it's democratizing coaching within organizations, and it doesn't have to be a huge, massive investment to sign up with a coach.
That, I mean, that approach is something that I've not experienced. And what I mean by that is, obviously, it's a testament to the confidence, your self-development, your knowledge, your studies. We put this into this one opportunity. When I say one opportunity, I don't mean it as literally the one, but we can drop in and say, okay, yeah, you it is. Anybody, and I don't think that there are many people in the industry that could say, well, yeah, bring anybody to me and I can work with that person. They could have a rounded understanding of any, we can all have a rounded understanding of any individual, but go into the essence of what is necessary in being able to decipher those years, all those years of life to create that forward momentum. Now that, girl, Desiree, is a skill. Well done to you.
Well, thank you. I have to say I am very, very grateful. You know, everybody, I think, has their own sort of little gold nuggets. Mine, I think, is insight and getting to the heart of where the, you know, the bones are buried. You know, I can't sing, I can't do maths. There's lots of things. I know, you know, my limitations in terms of, you know, what I can and can't do, but this I can do and I love it.
Obviously you do, because when you love something with authenticity, then it always comes in abundance, because the message that you're delivering is creating for a greater investment into the emotional economy of life, which of course creates life currency, which then transfers into money currency and then creates, depending on the person, good choices, landfill choices, bad choices, whatever they may be, if you know what I mean. But what we're going to do, listeners, we're going to jump into our second ad, a quick 90 seconds. When we come back, pen and paper's ready, because we're going to give out Desiree's details. Happy days. We'll see you in 90 seconds. Listen.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, we are back in UK Health Radio, listeners. Yes, and of course, we have the beautiful, the amazing Desiree Silverstone with us today. Absolutely. And she is such a think leader in the industry of, I'm going to use this word, coaching, but it's not good enough for this lady. It truly is. I want to say this lady is a psychotherapist. I'm going to say executive, business, career, mindset, making people in themselves successful lady. And that's just the top line of her business. Wait till you get in there, man. And some minds you just will never reach the end of because there's too much there. And that's this lady. Is there a book? Have you written a book yet?
I haven't written a book. I have actually been told many times that I should write a book. But I haven't as yet. So I will need to find the time to do so, Paul.
Well, here's the thing, right? Listen, I writing a book is easy. Just scribble things down and eventually it pieces together. It would be a disappointment and a disjustice to the reading world if you don't write something amazing from beginning to end. So I can pick something up and have a workbook of something that's going to really focus to the pinhead of my mind. Because you can do that. So let's get me a workbook, girl. I want something to interact with. I want a Desiree Silverstone workbook. Let's make that happen.
Well, maybe that's an idea. Maybe what I'll do is I'll start, as I'm coaching people, see common themes and sort of write a book on common themes.
Let's make it the mechanics to your beautiful self. But here's the thing, I promised this, listeners, and here we are, we're going to have Desiree's lovely contact details. We are www.headhonshaws.co.uk. that's correct.
Yep, that's
let me just
right.
is Honshaws is h-o-n-c-h-o-s.
Yep.
Honshaws. Okay, and of course we have Desiree Silverstone at headhonshaws.co.uk, and you'll find the lovely Desiree Silverstone anywhere on social media, and it's Desiree Silverstone,
as in the racetrack.
As in the racetrack. Truly, that was my thought before we came on. Now, we've talked about your approach to a real. In a way, as I say, your surgical approach to what you do with people, because you do separate emotional layers, and these are like almost like ectoplasm, these layers, do you know what I mean? They're real fine, and seeing that is in itself an emotional skill, for sure. Now, where do you see the coaching industry going, do you think? Do you see it kind of going through a meltdown before it sort of repairs itself?
Well, what I see happening is I see more AI apps coming mm-hmm. on, and I cannot get my head around how an app picks up on the nuances of people that give you a clue that, oh, there's something behind this, or picks up on, deeper emotion, on, where feelings, thoughts, whatever, family, school, our life experience, which is what makes us who we are today. I cannot begin to conceive how an app does that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that is coming out now. And also there are a lot of companies trying to cash in that are hiring coaches for, $40 an hour. And I sort of am thinking, I'm sure that there are some good quality coaches in there. But having been an examiner and, I'm seeing a lot of people, the quality of people going through with no qualifications, mm-hmm. et cetera, or even no insight. You can get a qualification, doesn't mean to say you're a good doctor.
True.
So I see bigger companies coming in to sort of monopolize the market.
Yeah.
But I question the quality of what they're doing.
And it's healthy to have, people like yourself, Desiree, that is questioning the quality. We need those people to highlight, we need to clean this up, Let's look at, we brushed on the word well-being in the commercial break then. And we, it's a word that's funky that's being used, but also is being used in it's being bent out of shape in many different ways. You know, it's become a tick box.
Absolutely. I mean, I see so many companies paying lip service to well-being, because I say, yes, you know, mental health, etc. And then I hear people saying, right, and this dollop of work landed on my desk, and now I've got to work 80 hours or whatever it is, and I'm totally stressed out. And what people don't realize about stress is if you constantly in a high state of stress,
yeah,
it actually affects your genes. So you've got two kinds of genes. One is, you know, you're hardwired, which is how you look, etc., etc. And then you've got another layer of genes which lies just above it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get stressed enough and you think that your body's, you know, producing cortisol hormones, all that kind of thing, it changes the way that those genes function, and they're switching on and off all the time. So if you sort of, you know, are affecting those genes, mm-hmm, when you have children, they will be affected. It can switch on, you know, all kinds of, you know, I don't know, trauma, depression, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll give you an example. They took rats and they exposed them to a smell of cherry blossom. And every time they were exposed, they gave them a mild electric shock. When they had pups, those pups couldn't bear the smell of cherry blossom.
Wow.
And when those pups had pups, they also couldn't bear the smell of cherry blossom. So what companies are doing to people today actually affects people's great-grandchildren.
That is surreal.
Likewise, you are sitting with the trauma and memories of your great-grandmother and grandfather.
Wow, it's surreal when you think about our inherited emotional fingerprint or inherited emotional habits. I don't really know how to put this in there, but, you know, and because of this, we're probably losing 40% of our employees' potential before they get out of bed.
Absolutely. I mean, it's staggering how many millions of pounds are lost in the industry every year to people being sick. And the majority of that is from stress.
Do you think that you know, there's a lot less focus on what is creating the right environment where you can grow your ideas, values? You have a safe place to grow your confidence in your thinking, your confidence in your ideas, and the confidence in sharing that, you know, and having that positive disruption. Do you feel that there's not enough companies that are focusing on creating that ecosystem?
Yeah, again, it's, you know, people pay lip service, and I don't know how many companies are aware of the phrase of psychological safety, because if you don't create a culture of psychological safety where people feel okay to speak up, to, you know, throw out ideas without being judged or without having the person that goes, I take up all the space and squash everybody below me, and they've got ego issues or whatever it may be, but they're actually hindering other people's progress.
Yeah.
But there's great ideas, talents, thoughts out there, and so many of them are squashed by either the company culture or by individuals. I mean, there's some pretty unhealthy, you know, people out there who create misery for people, for their team, et cetera, et cetera. So what does the company as a whole, how do they create that psychological safety, and how do CEOs, managers, et cetera, leading their teams create psychological safety that people feel okay to express themselves, give their ideas, et cetera?
Desiree, I love that psychological safety. And here's the thing you said, you know, where do people go? Well, I tell you where people go. They come to what is www.headhonchos.co.uk, and they then hire Desiree Silverstone in order to put in that psychological safety ecosystem within the business. Because here's the thing, businesses, you're paying people for their future, not their past. The CV got them in there. If you're still paying the person for that CV, you are now paying for cost, not investment. You know, each employee should be bringing in at least you know, triple their salary in ideas, values. And if you haven't put the place where they can share those ideas, values, then you've not got it. You've not got an investment. You've got a cost in your business. And you're creating that cost if you haven't created, allowed that ecosystem. So let's call it seat value. The idea is every employee should be increasing their seat value in that business every year by being able to share their ideas, values. And if you haven't got that, then you need to get this lady in there. You need to get this lady in your business to create that ecosystem so your employee's seat value is increasing every year through the happiness of being there. Happiness. Remember, the byproduct of a good business is money that's created from a happy environment, a quality thinking environment. It's been fantastic, Desiree, to have you on here. It's been amazing. Listeners, all those details are going to be out this lady. If there was something you want to add in the show before we finish, Desiree, what would it want to be? What would you want to throw in there?
I would, put me on the spot. There's so many things that I'd love that people would do. But I suppose there's one thing that I think is important in life, and that is to free yourself and to be authentic, to be present so that you can enjoy the world, life, people that you love, and you can also nurture because you've got the soul, psychological, mental space to do so.
Wow, and that was just one thing coming from you. I mean, come on, girl. I don't think you get how profound that was. Because for you, it was easy, but everybody else is likely going to be shaking with emotional excitement. This has been beautiful. Really, Desiree, thank you so much for coming on the show. I loved our deep dive. I love the share of your mind, your heart, and everything else that comes with this beautiful shape of who you are as a person. Until this time next week, listeners, you have an amazing psychological safe week within the environment that you love to be in. And I will see you very soon. And bye for now, and boom! Emotion.